Providence was such a center of the world of H.P. Lovecraft, as a native, as kind of the setting for many of his stories, the inspiration for many of his stories. Yet we're just finding out about him, it seems.
Yeah, you know, I've talked to people in the Lovecraft world, and they say back in the 70s, back in the 80s, people either didn't know who Lovecraft was, or basically there were reactions to him that weren't always positive. People say, why would we bother with that, with the tentacles, with the crazy stuff? And now it seems that Rhode Island and Providence specifically is really catching up. One of the things I write about in my story this week is there are various permanent markers now in the past year since I wrote my last story on Lovecraft that are really acknowledging this guy. There's going to be a bust unveiled at the Athenaeum. There's already a street sign on the east side here on College Hill that says H.P. Lovecraft Memorial Square. Brown University is beginning an endowed research position for the study of Lovecraft because we are, among other things, the Hay Library is where all of his or many of his letters and papers. It's really the world capital of Lovecraft studies. So in a lot of ways, we're catching up.
He seems to be, in the eyes of some in the literary world, the bridge between Edgar Allan Poe and Stephen King?
Yeah, I'd say the bridge between Edgar Allan Poe and this whole world of horror and science fiction and weird fiction. People trace his legacy in films like Alien. Basically, anywhere you see a slimy kind of tentacled creature, somebody will argue there's Lovecraft happening there.
Let's talk about some of the Lovecraft-connected events that are happening over the next several days in Providence.
There are going to be something like 30 panel discussions. There are going to be screenings of films, including midnight screenings. There's going to be a costume ball on Friday night, the Eldritch Ball at the Biltmore. There are going to be walking tours. There's going to be a water fire, which, as I understand, is going to be heavily Lovecraft-themed with Nazo Lab creatures on boats and various weird sights and sounds. There's going to be the Cthulhu Prayer Breakfast, which I haven't been to one, but it's apparently a tradition among Lovecraft fans. This Sunday morning, there's going to be some kind of Cthulhu prayer breakfast. You're going to have to find out what that is.
With all of these activities, and it's really catching on, it seems, this year, with all of these Lovecraft-related activities, of course, it brings some business to the city, too.
Yeah. When I spoke to the Providence Convention and Visitors Bureau, they estimated that some $600,000 of direct spending would come as a result of this. And I think that's kind of been one of my themes in my coverage. You know, at the Phoenix, I can kind of take a stance on this, and I don't mind being a champion of Lovecraft. I think there can and should be a discussion about some of the more complex elements of his legacy, his xenophobia, his anti-Semitism, his racism, and I've written about these before. But we can't really ignore him anymore. And in fact, he is kind of such a cultural force that I think even if you're not a fan, it's good business for Providence to embrace the kind of Lovecraft madness, if you will, to use a Lovecraftian word, that's happening really right now around the world in places like France and Italy and Norway, and absolutely happening exponentially on social media.
Phil Isle, Providence Phoenix, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.